Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day, enjoying at least the sunshine where I am. Nice. Looks very nice. I know it's still a little bit chilly, but looks nice outside. Darren McFarland, that's me. We are practicing our social distancing. This is now show, what is today?
Show 10.
Yeah. Show 10 under this format. I am representing the south side of town, Willie Donick, the east side of town, Chase McCabe, the west side of town, Elijah Campbell, back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Teresa Walker, she's representing the Associated Press, and she's done that for a long time. Teresa, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Darren and Chase. How are y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic. So what was it like for you to get the news? Well, for, I guess let me ask you this. Were you set to cover the Olympics this summer?
Yes, I actually was going to be going and helping cover women's basketball. So it was going to be number six, and now it's going to have to wait a year because, you know, we're facing something that, you know, none of us in our lifetimes really have faced. So disappointing, to say the least.
Yep, and now we've learned today that Wimbledon has been canceled. That was set to take place late June. And the first 10, 11 days of July. So that's another cancellation. So I'm going to ask you, as we sit here on the first day of April, none of us have the answer to this, but I'm just going to ask you, who do you think is going to be the first sport to declare they're coming back?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, having been on a call yesterday with players around the NHL Central Division, you know, certainly – it, you know, you would think that the NBA and NHL are, you know, because they were so close. I mean, we were, you know, a few weeks from them starting their, a month away from starting their postseason. So, you know, and you know, I know that they're looking into trying to find some way of maybe being able to finish off their season. Major League Baseball, you know, never got started. You know, a few days ago, we were all kind of lamenting what would have been opening day. You know, golf is, you know, PGA stuff has been canceled, and you know, we're starting to think, you know, the Memorial guys, that's a pretty big tournament in May, you know, with the Masters already being canceled. So that is just such a good question. I'm stuck because here's the thing. If one comes back, Darren, then it feels like the other three or four might be following.
That's exactly what I'm asking because I don't have any doubts. Like, I want to know who's going to be the first one to jump back in the waters, right? Because one – jumps in, everybody's going to follow. So I'm just curious, you know, who you think that first sports group slash entity is going to be to stand up and say, all right, we are coming back on this date. I was just curious how you would answer it.
You know what? I'm going to guess the NBA because, let's face it, they're the ones who, once Rudy Gobert tested positive, that set off the flood.
You know,
the Ivy League had kind of set that toe in the water, but everyone else was like, well, maybe we can play if we don't allow people in. And they just kind of took the, you know, took the lead, and everybody followed at that point. So I'm going to go with the NBA.
Do you think the NBA is coming back to try to complete this past season? Do you think the NBA and the NHL actually complete their past seasons, or the seasons that they're currently in, or do you think that they're going to be unable to do it, in your opinion?
At this point, considering what I've been reading from all the scientists and specialists, if anything is completed, I think it would be postseasons only, and count me among the cynics that think that's going to be really tough, if not impossible, because you know there's hope that maybe we get into June and July, that maybe things ease up. But what we just don't know about this disease is maybe we do that and it starts another spread of this. So, you know, that there's been hope that warmer temps would help. We just don't know. And, you know, you can take best guesses, but in the end, it's just going to be easier to err on the side of caution and simply not play.
Yep. Chase, this will interest you. Mike Soroka has, I guess he was doing an interview with Sportsnet, and he said, if we play an 80-game season, it's going to almost feel like playoff baseball the entire year. So isn't that strange how just in a short amount of time, which is really how this is all played out, right? Like I'll never forget that week as long as I live, that week of shows, how it started with the Ivy League and where it ended up by the end of the week. I mean, every day, every hour, something different. There was a new layer. Something different was happening. And just think how just last week MLB's coming up with, you know, doubleheaders, seven-inning doubleheaders, neutral sites, and, oh, we can cram all this in, and maybe we could get 140 games, or maybe we can complete the season. And now here's Mike Soroka saying, yeah, if we could just get an 80-game season in, it'll feel like playoffs every game.
Well, and Darren, I'm going to point this out. I'm going to give credit to John Hollinger. You know, he used to work for ESPN and the Memphis Grizzlies. He sees it as a bad omen for the NBA. Wimbledon canceled today. You know, those cancellations have kind of slowed over the last week. You know, the SEC yesterday canceled the spring meetings in Destin. You know, so it's been some smaller things like that. But Wimbledon canceled today. You know, it'll be like the first time since 1945 they haven't held that tournament. And that ends in July. So for the hopes that we could get anything going again in June and July, that just seems to be a bit of a gut punch.
No doubt about it. So what do you think? Is there going to be any more Titans moves, you think, from John Robinson before the draft?
Well, there has to be. I mean, you know, there's still some spots to fill. The deal that his agent reported last night, the defensive lineman from the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm trying to remember his name. His
Vic
Twitter
Beasley.
Handle is – thank you. No, not Vic Beasley. That's who the Titans announced yesterday, Jack Crawford, who has just a killer Twitter handle. But of course, now I'm blanking on it. But, you know, he's kind of a fill replacement for Austin Johnson. Well, they haven't really replaced Jarrell Casey yet on that defense or Logan Ryan. So they still kind of need a cornerback. And LeSean Sims is gone, so they still need cornerback depth. And let's face it, with the cap space created with trading Jarrell Casey, we've all been waiting for that other shoe to drop. You know, the move that created space to do. So, you know, it never has felt like it was simply to create space to sign Derrick Henry to another, you know, to a beyond the tag. So, you know, and we all have been thinking, is it going to be Clowney? Well, the problem with that is, you know, the situation we're in makes it tough because, you know, you want to see how healthy he is before you sign him to a big expensive deal. And what is the framework of that deal? We all think that the salary cap's going to go up. But this was all done on math done before, you know, life today in the pandemic with COVID-19. So, you know, we all think TV contracts will still be going up in the next round. But, you know, does that actually happen? So, you know, everything, you know, you're kind of wait and see. But, you know, let's face it, all signs have been pointing to Jadeveon and Clowney as that big move. And, you know, in about an hour, you know, John Robinson's going to be talking to us here in the local media. And that question is bound to come up. And I'm very curious to see what Robinson's answer is to it.
We're talking to Teresa Walker, covers the Titans, and, of course, covers really everything Tennessee sports-wise for the Associated Press. And, Teresa, let me give you a salute because I notice on your timeline on Twitter you're keeping everybody informed as well with the Associated Press's coverage of the pandemic, which I think is important to mix. You know, we all want to have our release and be able to cover sports, but we also need to stay up on what's happening around the world and, of course, how it affects us here. So good stuff there. And so let me ask you this. What's your sense? You said it today. Maybe we'll get some clues. But where do you think they are right now on Jadeveon Clowney? Do you think they've passed on that, or do you think they have a price in mind that if Clowney were interested, they would go with it? What do you think?
Well, there's been reports that they have made an offer to him. So my hunch is that, yeah, they're trying to get him down to a price. You know, the first reports were that he were wanting, you know, he was wanting DeForest Buckner money. And that's a lot of money to give to a guy who, you know, when he's good, he's good. But he's played one 16-game season in his career. So, and he just had, you know, after he finished the postseason with the Seahawks, had a surgery to fix a sports hernia. So, one, I want to see if he's healthy. And two, I can't overpay for him. You know, now can I do a deal that has a lot of incentives? Absolutely. Let him earn the money. But he obviously, you know, he's hitting the market really for the first time. He's wanting some money as well. So trying to find that middle ground where you can come to, come to Jesus, so to speak, is going to be the challenge. And what the Titans have in their corner, Mike Vrabel. He coached him as a linebackers coach in Houston. He was a coordinator for him for 1 year. He knows him. And let's face it, that is something that they know each other. So Clowney knows what he's getting, but the Titans have to know, are they getting a healthy Jadeveon Clowney before you overpay for him? And thank you, Willie. I'm going to keep sharing the AP news because I know how hard our people are working around the entire world to keep us up to date on this situation.
Yeah, you have a good balance of that, for sure. And with that in mind, I think a lot of us, either on Twitter or maybe you were even watching SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt when he said it, but I know Adam Schefter, who rarely works outside with any kind of opinion or gets much emotion, you know, he's pretty much straightforward info. You know, he got a little emotional, kind of just saying, boy, they're going forward with all this. We don't know what's going to happen down the road. I'll just ask it this way. Teresa, you know, I know we don't want to really think about it. We love our football, and down the road, you know, we have to. We're for optimism. If we're optimists, we certainly hope that football starts on time and gets going. But, you know, I got to admit, I'm a little bit concerned, and I'm wondering if you are as well. I mean, we don't want to say it can't happen, it's not going to happen, but at the same time, I think they have to prepare for a lot of scenarios here.
Willie, they absolutely have to. I mean, you know, right now I can't see any way that they actually have an off-season program or OTAs because, again, we were just talking, you know, we're into April and May and June. How do you do that? You know, now video allows you to keep an eye on guys who are working out, but, you know, you're having to trust an awful lot. And what we see them do is build up. Well, if they don't have an off-season program, old school days, you'd have a longer training camp. Well, that might not be possible. And yes, until there is a vaccine or treatment that we know of that they've been able to document and say, you know, we've had this success and this many people, it's going to be really incredibly risky to try to have football this fall. I know nobody wants to hear that. I know Kirk Herbstreit was taking all sorts of flack at the end of last week because he said that might be a possibility of no football this fall. It absolutely is a strong possibility. Now, you know, you can't cancel anything until you shouldn't cancel stuff till you get to that point where you need to. But it's going to take a year to 18 months at the to get us a vaccine. Well, because you have to do trials. There was AP reported last week, they started a trial in Washington, and vaccinated some human people. Well, we got to see how that goes. And it might work, it might not work. And that's going to be the challenge of how this goes forward. So, you know, the NFL, I don't know about y'all, but I've been a little grateful that we've had free agency such as it is. And I'm kind of glad that we're going to have the draft because that's going to give us all something to talk about, a diversion from what's going on. But, you know, let's face it, nobody knows what's going to happen because, you know, we're having to wait and see, and none of us have been in this situation before. So it's frustrating for sure. And when I saw those comments by Adam Schefter, I completely get it because, let's face it, who isn't thinking this in the back of our heads?
Teresa Walker of the AP here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And as you look at this Titans team right now as it stands, Teresa, and I was going through the roster and the free agent signings that they've made, do you think that this team is better than the one that went to the AFC championship game, or have they taken a step back and have some work to do when draft day comes?
Well, there's still definitely some work to be done because, well, let's face it, they've got to get depth at cornerback. I'd still like to see some more speed and pass rush help. And yeah, they're going to need a little bit more depth on the offensive line. And I'd like to see, you know, what they do to replace Tajay Sharp at wide receiver. Now, it's nice when you're having to replace your number three receiver or four receiver, depending on the health of Adam Humphries. But, you know, guys, I got some standings or predictions or odds or whatever this morning, just a little while ago. And right now the Titans are 3-2 odds to finish first in the AFC South. Didn't see these last year, I'm just saying, okay? You know, so right now in my odds and reading, you know, there's a reason I don't bet. But yeah, they're 3-2 odds to finish first. The Colts are 7-4 to finish first in the AFC South. So, you know, they're far and away right now the team that is being expected to take that jump. And the reason is because they have 10 of 11 starters right now coming back, And Ryan Tannehill with his deal, Derrick Henry at the least is tagged. And so you've got those pieces in place. And, if we can see that offense that we saw for so many weeks with Tannehill, then absolutely this is a team that is better. But I just want to see some more. They got some holes. That's what the draft is for. And I still want to see, what they do to replace the leadership, if nothing else, from Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey. As great as Kevin Byard is, you still need a little bit more help in leadership on that side of the ball.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is I was looking through the Titans on their website, have a section, free agency under John Robinson, and I feel like his draft evaluation, how he's drafted, I would give him a higher grade than I would for some of the free agent signings that he's made since he's been general manager. There have been some that have worked, but then there have been some definite misses. So when you look at that in the big picture, how would you evaluate how he has signed free agents in his tenure with the Titans?
Well, there have definitely been some misses. I mean, is there anybody who gives him thumbs up for the Deion Lewis signing? But you have the Malcolm Butler signing. And, we saw just how valuable he is when he was on IR. Could you imagine having had him in that AFC Championship game? So, they got to the AFC Championship game last year. So, yeah, I think you have to grade it maybe B- at this point. But, that's an area where his style in free agency has been more to, keep guys. Last year signing Kenny Vaccaro before he hit the market. This year, Tannehill. But you know what? You also have to give him credit because, maybe I'm going to bump that up to an A- because, I'm going to think back now. It wasn't a free agent signing, but that trade to get Ryan Tannehill, that was the biggest move that I think he's made in free agency, and that was a pretty strong one.
Are you getting the first question today?
Well, I would hope so, at least with Vrabel. I haven't had that many availabilities with John Robinson in a while. But, yes, I would humbly hope so. I mean, Associated Press, we're right there at the start of the alphabet.
That's a good point. Do you have your question ready? Do you when
oh,
called
yes.
upon, are you ready to go?
Oh, are you kidding? With what we're trying to do and stretch and cover as many topics, I've got a long list of questions that I know I'm not going to get asked, but I'm going to be checking off to make sure that they get asked because we got to cover a lot of ground today.
There you go. She's prepared. She's ready. She's got about an hour, and she'll be ready to get after John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Teresa Walker, appreciate the visit. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Chase, Willie, and Darren, and y'all stay safe.
All right, you do the same. Teresa Walker, Associated Press, Predator, or the Titans, indeed, will have a press conference a little bit later today. It'll be in the third hour of the show with the general manager and the head coach. We'll come back more of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have made contact with Brent Snedeker, and he will join us in about 10 minutes or so. Today we've got Tim Corbin region out there readily available, about 9.5 hours to vote to send 8 more athletes to the second round. Jeff Fisher region is in the books. Steve McNair versus Taylor Lewan, P.K. Subban versus the freak Javon Kearse. Derek Barnett and Keith Bullock will do battle in second round, and Ryan Tannehill and Roman Yossi. Those are all second round matchups in the Jeff Fisher region. But the Tim Corbin region has the number one seed David Price, 2 seed Shea Weber in there, Brent Snedeker's in there, the 5 seed. So get on 102.5 The Game and vote on Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Chase, do you have any latest updates?
I do. So David Price, as you mentioned, the 1 seed, 89% of the vote right now over Keenan Reynolds, the 16 at 11%. The 8-9 matchup, Paul Kariya, who also wore number 9 for the Nashville Predators, leads Big John Henderson 66% to 34%. The 4-13, Frank Wycheck, 80% over Dansby Swanson, the shortstop for the Atlanta Braves, 20%, of course, played at Vandy. Brent Snedeker, our next guest, the 5 seed, leads the 12, Jawan Jennings, 64% to 36%. The 6-11 matchup, Jordan Matthews, who's coming up at noon, 65% over the six-seeded Ryan Suter at 35%. The 314, Chris Johnson, 92% of the vote over Jalen Hurd, the 14. The mayor of Murfreesboro, Kevin Byard, the 7 seed, 87% over the mayor of Hendersonville, Joseph Newgarden, the 10 seed at 13%. And as you mentioned, Darren, Shea Weber, a 2 seed, 87% of the vote over Chapel Hill's Mike Miner, the 15.
There you go. Tim Corbin region today.
It's keep pretty lopsided scores right now.
No real, I mean, you've got obviously Jordan Matthews is pulling off the upset, but other than that, a lot of chalk right now in the Tim Corbin region, and they're making it look pretty easy. This is that day in the NCAA tournament.
But it's reverse. It's reverse chalk in the one with Matthews and Suter. That's the one reverse. It's a wide margin, but everything else is chalk.
Yeah, that's what I said. Just said that, yeah.
But you said most. You said all chalk, right?
Well, I said except for Matthews over Suter, the 11 seed.
No, I
rest is chalk.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're all blowouts too. By the way, this is that.
I'm still stunned. I'm stunned at. I'm not stunned because I know why it happens, but I'm surprised at the Henderson. But this goes down to again, how do you in your own mind, as a voter, consider this question: the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. You know, how much does longevity count in your mind, and how much do you value somebody who was born and raised here, that was here for a long time? That's something everybody's going to have to consider. But the way people have voted so far, I would say you tell me if you see it differently, that it's heavily weighted towards the pro franchises in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right. Even if they weren't here for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think there's a lot of recency bias, you know, with some of this too, but you expect that when
definitely.
You do things like this.
So, those are the two trends.
Although Derek Barnett, the Vols fans shelled out. And, you know, also he's a Nashville kid. And so, you know, obviously he's got the high school tie but they represented, that was a big upset. I mean, that was not a big upset. That was a pretty easy, I called it, but I didn't think it was going to be that easy. Derek Barnett made it,
but it's
look
the recency.
Pretty easy.
The recency, though, he's still top of mind.
True,
you know, he's much more recent than Shane Foster for sure.
Yep, no doubt about it. So
I was stunned. I was stunned that the Commodore went down. I was.
Well, and I'm. We are working on we're working on a guest for tomorrow that is in tomorrow's region, the Phil Bredesen region. Because I'm interested in the matchup that this mystery person is in, because they were pretty popular back in the day. And I'll leave it at that. That's a tease, but hopefully we can make that work.
Wimbledon has been canceled yet again, putting them on the long list of sporting events canceled in 2020. Not postponed, canceled in 2020. That was set to take place in late June and early July. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban just needs to stick to Shark Tank and stop weighing in on when the NBA will be back. Now he's saying no idea when the NBA returns. He keeps trying to throw his stuff predictions out there. And Mark, I don't know if you figured it out. Nobody knows. So stop commenting on it, okay? Yeah. Just let it play out.
That's the risk you run when you try to be optimistic and throw out the first possible date, because then you set yourself up to have to push that date back. And that's what's happened, too, in China. We were talking about this earlier in the week. I don't know if you saw this, but they've scrapped the plan for now. They've pushed it back, and I don't think they have a next target date with the whole quarantine everybody and have everybody play with no fans in a gym where you're surrounded by everybody else who's been quarantined. That whole thing, we went through all the logistics, and right now just too many logistics now in China to try to pull that off for now. So I don't know if they've scrapped it entirely, but they've pushed it back, and they said, we're just not ready for this.
All right, speaking of former Door, we will come back with Brant Snedeker. Find out what he's been up to, how he feels about the 5 seed. Can he be a guy that can get on a roll in our bracket and maybe make some noise? We'll talk to Sneds on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday. Have the voting open for the Tim Corbin region. We've got till 9 o'clock tonight. Eight more athletes will advance in our Nashville sports bracket. The best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. The 5 seed in our bracket, who is in the Tim Corbin region. Brant Snedeker on the line with us, going up against the 12 seed, Juwan Jennings, former Vols wide receiver, kid that played just down the road where I am in Rutherford County. And right now, Chase, what do we have results-wise in that 5-12 matchup?
What we have right now for that one is, as I go into a four-corner stall here,
refresh.
Brant Snedeker leads the way 63% to 37% over Juwan Jennings.
63%. And Brant Snedeker is indeed on the line with us. Brant, you feel pretty good about today's action? Is that a good lead for you out of the gates?
I think so. I'm a little worried of the recency bias here. Juwan just getting done up there at Tennessee, so hopefully I can overcome that. And I mean, I do have a couple questions, I guess. I didn't know Tim Corbin was an athlete. So is that count, or is coaching involved in this?
It's just his region. He's not in it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's – like we had the – yesterday
we've named
was the
region
Jeff,
after him.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher region was yesterday. Today it's the Tim Corbin region. Tomorrow we're going to unveil for voting the Phil Bredesen region, and then we've got the David Poyle region to finish things out. Yeah.
So I was going
to
say, if I'm in his region, I got no chance. I mean, there's no way in the world I'd beat Tim Corbin.
I've got to be honest. I saw pictures, I think it was over the weekend, of you, and I did not know this about you. Are you an avid fisherman? I mean, pretty nice catch, a picture you posted.
I do, yeah. I love getting outdoors and doing anything outdoors to kind of get away. So we were out kind of doing our part, social distancing, getting away from everybody, and went out to a place we got a lot west of town and went fishing and kind of hanging out at the farm with the kids. So it was a lot of fun and caught some good fish. The kids had a blast, so it was kind of good to get out of the house for a few days and get out there kind of away from everybody and do our part.
Is that kind of your love away from the golf course?
It is, yeah. You know, I love getting, you know, obviously being outside all the time in golf, kind of like being where my cell phone doesn't work for a few days and kind of checking out. So getting outside, doing that kind of stuff, I love. I grew up fishing my whole life. I love it. Any kind of fishing, it can be fly fishing, sport fishing, bass fishing, you name it, I'm in for it. And gotten to be a little bit more outdoorsy and getting some hunting here in the last few years. So just love being outside, being in the woods a little bit, kind of clears your head and gets you kind of hits a reset button for me, at least anyways.
We're seeing a lot of these athletes in sports right now turn to video games, and, you know, networks are picking up on this and they're willing to air it. They're looking for content. One, let me just start with, are you a video game? Do you like golf games? You're into video games?
You know, I used to be in college, and then I had a really bad semester because I was playing too many video games.
Well, that happened to me too, Brant.
Yeah, so I realized I don't have the self-control, I guess is the best way to put it, to only keep it to one game at a time. I play for 6 or 7 hours at a time. So, you know, I haven't played a video game in probably 10 years. My son's got an Xbox, and I might play a game with him every once in a while, but very rarely do I get into it.
I didn't know if the Golf Channel was looking to pick up you guys doing battle on Golden Tee or what. You know, I didn't know.
I'm terrible at Golden Tee. I'm better at the handheld games, but Golden Tee, I'm awful at. There's some guys on tour who are really good. I mean, really good.
So, what are you hearing? We've talked to a lot of obviously athletes and their respective sports and kind of what they're hearing, what they're doing. You know, obviously you find ways, whether it's Zoom or what have you, Skype, and talk to guys that you play with, friends on the tour. So what are you guys discussing right now about your sport?
You know, we're kind of in this, no different than any other sport right now. We're in big-time limbo trying to figure out, you know, I think with Wimbledon getting canceled earlier today, that did not bode well for the British Open, which is in London the week after this year. So I would have to assume if Wimbledon's not happening, I can't see the British Open happening either. So that's in middle of July for us. So I just don't know. You know, I think the one positive our sport has going forward versus a lot of other sports is we are obviously an outdoor-based sport where we can put something on TV that doesn't have to have fans, doesn't have to have volunteers involved in, so we could have a much smaller footprint. You know, kind of what they're talking about with basketball. But we're a non-contact sport, so we can effectively social distance all day long. We're playing golf. We're never really that close to anybody anyway. So I have a feeling we'll be one of the first sports back. When that is, I don't know. I think we got a lot more serious things going on the next 2 weeks, just kind of figure out, hopefully get grips around this thing and just go in the right direction.
Why has this city, why is everything, you've done so many good things, and obviously it's been a strange time on this show, on, you know, for all of us, you know, having to cover a tornado and then right after that this pandemic and COVID-19. I mean, it's just been a weird, weird 2020. But you know this market well. Why has this worked, and how this market responds to adversity and how we stick together? I mean, I think it's why we all live here and love this place. But just for the purposes of kind of like what we're talking about, Nashville athletes, why has this worked for you and your family?
Well, you know, growing up here, I probably didn't realize how special this place was until I got a chance to really start traveling. And, you know, going to Vanderbilt is probably the best decision I ever made in my career for me, just because I met a lot of great people there. I met my wife there. I got to play with some great players on the golf team and had a great coach, and really got me kind of motivated. And Vanderbilt did a great job of preparing me to be a professional athlete in the sense of how to time manage, how to handle yourself, how to do stuff the right way. And so once I turned pro and started traveling, I realized how special Nashville was. You know, I've been just about everywhere in the world, I feel like, through the game of golf. And, you know, you have a community like this. It's so tight-knit. It's grown together. Still has, even though we can all agree that we're growing really, really fast, it still has a very small town feel to it when you're in it. You know, you feel like everybody cares about their neighbors. They're really concerned with the city. They're concerned with making sure that if we do have tourists coming in town, we do a great job of showing them a good time. And it's grown to kind of, you know, everybody here has kind of grown to appreciate that. That's pretty rare in the world these days. And so, you know, Nashville's just a great, great place with a bunch of great people. It's got everything you ever want in a city. But more importantly, like I've kind of harkened back to with this tornado a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago now, I guess, is it's not the city, the buildings, or anything else that makes the city special. It's all the people here. You know, the people that care, genuinely care about it, grew up here, or them, it might be transplants. They realize it's a special place and they want to be here, and they want to do their part to keep it that way. So hopefully through this disaster, after having the last one, the tornado, we can kind of pull together even closer as a community and realize how special this place is and help each other out, and be good neighbors, be good friends, and do our part to help people who are really going to struggle for the next couple of weeks through this thing.
We're talking to Brant Snedeker, a fine player from the PGA Tour, and it's always great to catch up with him, Nashvillean, as he just got done telling you. And Brant, no pressure here in our Nashville sports bracket, you being a 5 seed, but you're the last of the Mohicans for the Big Red, Montgomery Bell, with Engel Martin and R.A. Dickey going down in the first round. That's tough.
Well,
so you're carrying the torch here.
Who did he lose to? I want to hear this.
He lost to Ryan Tannehill. R.A. was the 7 seed and Tannehill was the 10. And you hit the term right at the start, the recency bias. I think that worked against R.A. It was very close, but R.A.
Yeah,
and he joined us yesterday. We hyped him up.
We did. We had him on, and I think we were all surprised that he lost yesterday.
I think it's a seeding. I think y'all did a bad job. Those 7-10 games are coin flips. Come on, you got to get him a better seed next time.
But, Brant, of course, you did so many great things at MBA and also at Vanderbilt. I'm curious, too, just watching the program, the Vanderbilt men's golf team has done really, really well year in and year out. They're competing for a national title. Some year they're going to win it here, as you know. And, you know, Luke List, I know, is a consistent guy on the tour now, another Vanderbilt guy. But maybe if you can, tell us your relationship with the program and maybe how you've seen it evolve since you left.
Yeah, you know, when I came to Vanderbilt, we were not very good, to say the least. I think we were probably bottom two or three, it seemed like every year in golf. And I kind of went there with the thinking of, it's an SEC program, there's no reason why we can't be great at golf. And kind of started, hopefully, that trend. And it really kind of took off with the hiring of our coach, Scott Limbaugh, about, I think it's his seventh year, maybe 6 years, something like that. Scott was assistant out of Alabama when Alabama had won back-to-back national championships with Justin Thomas and Bud Colley and all these stud players that were down there. We hired him at Vanderbilt, and things just turned on a dime. I mean, we went from being a pretty good program to an elite program relatively quickly. He did a great job recruiting some great players. There's a kid right now named John Augustine at Vanderbilt who is just going to play in the Masters. Was going to play in the Masters as an amateur here in 2 weeks. He'll probably end up playing, hopefully, play in the fall. And, you know, just turned it into a great program where people from all over the world want to come and play golf at Vanderbilt. You know, he's a great coach. He's one of those guys that very similar to Tim Corbin. I got a feeling if you told him to coach any sport, he'd be successful. He's just one of the people who can lead people and get the most out of his players. And so they've lost in the final two out of 3 years in the match play finals of the NCAA. So he's got it rolling over there. It's just a matter of time before they get it done. But it's been fun to watch them really, really get great at golf and embrace it. And, you know, all starts with your head coach is so much very similar to Vanderbilt baseball. You know, Vanderbilt baseball was okay. No offense to you, Willie, but it took a guy like Tim to come in and really kind of change the outlook of the program. And Scott's doing the same thing with golf.
Well, Brant, here's something, and you've kind of illustrated the perspective of where sports fits, right? And you were talking about, you know, golf might have some opportunities here with the distancing that you can have, you know, mm-hmm. physically and still be able to play. So how are you trying to stay sharp right now, especially with the uncertainty? You don't know if it's going to be, you know, a month, 2 months, whatever it is, but how do you keep, you know, that mental focus and are you getting some reps in, you know, on your...
Willie,
you cut out. Go ahead.
I've been able to do a little bit, which is nice. I've got a simulator in my house that allows me to kind of play some golf and practice a little bit at home. And there's no recreating me on the golf course. And as the weather gets better here in the next few weeks, I'll do a lot more. But with the, you know, the timeline being right now for us is looking into May as a next tournament we have on our calendar scheduled to go, which is the Charles Schwab Invitational down in Colonial in Fort Worth. I'm kind of circling that in my mind as when we're going to try to give it a go again. And so with that being said, we could be hope that could be wishful thinking, but I'm going to use that as my start date. So these next couple of weeks, I'll really start getting out there and trying to play and practice a little bit when I can. And, you know, hopefully golf courses, you know, a lot of them, some of them are shut down, some of them are staying open. I have some places to go and be able to get some work in. You know, it seems like golf right now is a good kind of respite from what's going on in the world. You can get outside and play 9 holes, not really talk to anybody. I mean, have plenty of distance from everybody and get some exercise and get some fresh air. Because I think, you know, judging from just me and my being around my kids and trying to homeschool for the last, I guess, week, it feels like 4 months. I'm going to need some outside time. I am not built to be a teacher.
We're talking to Brant Snedeker, Nashville legend, Vanderbilt legend. And obviously, as we have this conversation, there are bigger things than sports, bigger things than golf. But I know for me, just as a fan, it's going to be weird not watching the Masters in April mm-hmm. at Augusta National. Like, for you as somebody that plays in these tournaments, I mean, what the hope is to reschedule it and to play it at some point, but it is – how do you process all of this of knowing that things are, you know, golf is such a sport of tradition that a lot of these traditions are going to be changed?
Yeah, it's really, it's going to be a really weird next 2 years, I think, because I think it'll take 2 years for it to really shake out with us of how we move our schedule around, where we move tournaments to. But I think it'll hit home for a lot of people next, for sports fans, at least for next week, just because next week is the Masters. And that's kind of what I remember as being like the starting of spring and summer and, when things really get going for me, for golf and for everybody else being outside, doing stuff outside, not having it on TV is going to be such a different feeling and different, you know, I think it will really kind of speak to the seriousness of the issues we have going on right now. But that being said, I think, you know, as we all know, as we all have not had sports on TV or anything, you know, so much of our country and so much of our fabric of who we are, it revolves around sports in the sense that it provides entertainment, B, it provides experiences that people wouldn't have, and people kind of forget that a huge part of what we're missing right now is that shared experience that you have watching a sporting event with somebody or watching an event with your dad or your son or whoever it may be. And so we're missing those experiences right now. So I think sports can be a big healing for this country when it comes back. We're obviously hoping sooner rather than later. And with us, you know, the Masters maybe be playing in October would be a cool moment because it'd be different, but it also symbolizes that we're back to being who we are as a country. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of find a way through this, and our schedule can kind of work its way out with no Olympics now for us. We have an open week in the fall, and maybe there's talks and maybe not of moving, you know, the PGA to the fall, moving the U.S. Open to the fall. So there's some opportunities there to have a lot of big events in a row and kind of feel like you're getting back to normalcy.
Brent, you mentioned something that you have a simulator and you've gotten in that, and I don't think there's anything that could help my golf game. Darren's seen it. It's bad. It's very, very bad. But how much has technology kind of changed some of the preparation? Because I think that's cool that a lot of you guys are able to use simulators. I know it's not the same as being on the actual course, but how much does it help?
It does help a little bit. You know, technology plays a huge deal. You know, we have these devices called TrackMans now that you can put behind you and hit golf balls, and it's a radar, and it tells you exactly how far your ball is flying, the spin rate of it, the curve, the direction, all these kind of things. So it can make you practice a lot smarter and a lot more efficiently than you would have before. You know, it used to be if I was trying out new clubs or new whatever, new irons, a new golf ball, anything, it was a trial and error process of going to the golf course, going back to the range, going to the golf course, charting where everything's going, trying to figure out if the ball's working or not. Whereas now TrackMan can cut that down into, you know, one session of 45 minutes to an hour. You can kind of dial stuff in pretty quickly. So that helps a lot. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff that can really streamline what you're trying to do. The one problem you get into is there's still something innate in every athlete, I think, that they have a natural ability or a natural feel. And sometimes technology can kind of hide that. You know, you kind of lose who you are as a, you know, he's a pitcher, for example, and people are working on their technique when pitching. Sometimes those guys, when they get so caught up in their technique, they lose kind of one of their key things of whatever it was that made their pitching motion so good. Or even hitters get thinking too much and slows down the reaction time. So there's a fine line there. You got to be able to balance of knowing, okay, hey, I have a natural ability to do this. I want to get better through video work or camera work, whatever it may be. But I can't lose who I am as an athlete is the way I think, and get in my own way. So it's obviously a different balancing act.
Brent, I'm just going to let you know, during this interview, I've seen some Tennessee folks trying to make a push for Juwan Jennings. So we're, you know, need to get the word out. Make sure that people keep voting.
I mean, was
Juwan
even an all-SEC player? I mean, come on here.
See, that's the pitch. That's what we're looking for, right?
See?
That right there.
I mean, if you want to go by college career, I was the SEC athlete of the year. I mean, come on. You got to give me some credit for that.
That is outstanding. Hey, thanks for doing this. You and your family be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Likewise. Thanks, guys, for keeping going. I love listening to y'all. It's good rest right now to hear talks like these going on when so much of stuff's going on outside.
No doubt about it. We really appreciate it. Brent Snedeker, always good to catch up with him. And right now, he is our 5 seed in the Tim Corbin region, taking on Juwan Jennings. And I wasn't kidding. I've seen a push from the Vols fans to get votes for Jennings during this interview. So hopefully Brent Snedeker can get that ramped up and get things going. We've got about 9 more hours or so of voting in that region. Great turnout yesterday with our votes. 8 athletes advanced in the Jeff Fisher region. And then tonight, by 9 o'clock tonight, 8 more athletes will advance in our bracket for the Tim Corbin region. Then we'll unveil 2 more regions by the end of the week. We will be down to our Sweet 16. When we come back, who do we have waiting in the on-deck circle? How about Jordan Matthews? So a little Vandy flavor here in the second hour of the program. And we'll kick off the third and keep that going with Jordan Matthews. He's involved in the Tim Corbin region. Jordan Matthews versus Ryan Suter. And could this be 2 days in a row the 11 seed takes down the 6? We'll kick off the third hour with Jordan Matthews next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.